Texas Podcast Massacre contains spoilers and adult language. For more horror, visit us at our website at texaspodcastmassacre.com.
To another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, coming to you from Houston, Texas. I'm your host, Mitch, and with me, as always, is the Audrey 2 to my Audrey, Nate.
I was going to do the Audrey voice, but I can't do it. I can't do that voice.
What was that voice?
Her high-pitched voice, it's like so high. I don't think my throat can like handle it. I'll just say, you should just call me DDS.
DDS.
Oh, yeah. It's a great cameo in this movie. Well,
is that really a cameo though? When you're in the movie for that long?
I was talking about Bill Murray.
Oh, yes. That was so weird.
Great cameo.
Oh, him.
We'll get into
Candy.
It.
Yeah.
John Candy. It's great. Great.
And of course, we have our queen of unsuspecting victims, Lisa.
Hey, everybody.
Lisa, wow, not even Lisa, this is your pick. This was your contractually allowed freebie.
That was the most depressing Dr. Nick I've ever heard.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre. Each week, we take a look at a different horror movie and debate a horror-related topic with our unsuspecting victim, who is usually someone we would not consider a horror fan. This week, interesting. Lisa, usually around this time of year, you kind of get to pick one or two of the movies that we've watched. And typically, they're not horror films, although Nate and I will certainly make the case. But in this one, this was, I think, a horror film already. I mean, it's in the title, Little Shop of Horrors. How did you feel? I mean, what drew you to select this movie for this week's episode?
Because it didn't seem like it would be too scary. Okay. Number one. Yeah. Number two, I already know bits and pieces about it, but I had never seen the whole movie. Those are probably the two main things.
Okay. Rick Moranis is not known to be in too many horror films. I don't think, except for this one.
Yeah, I guess it would. I don't, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It's not scary enough for you guys.
I was going to say
giant babies.
I was going to say Strange Brew.
Oh, well, there you go. Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. Not quite what you think it's about. This is an interesting one. I hadn't seen this. So I had not seen this movie since I was younger. Nate, I'm assuming you've seen this before.
Never seen it.
You've never seen it because Lisa has never seen it. Okay.
I saw the original. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So I was the only one that have seen this movie before this week. That is, we'll have to dig into that because I am now very curious what you both thought. This is good. So, yeah. So look, we're going to talk about this. You know, this is, I would say, certainly an unsuspecting victim friendly movie considering our resident unsuspecting victim chose this one. But I think you'll find it is a horror film, although a very musically inclined one. With that, we're going to get into this week's debate question.
Bid our father, the Sea King, rise from the depths full foul in his fury. Black waves teeming with salt foam to smother this young mouth with pungent slime.
Not as much pungent slime in this one, considering that's a lot very plant-based. In fact, the slimiest thing is probably the dentist. Warren Scrivello, DDS. So anyway, but look, interestingly enough, Nate told us before while we were getting prepped, because I didn't know this, they're going to remake this movie. So Lisa, this movie came out in 86 initially. Oh, nice. And they're just now deciding, you know, enough time's gone by. Let's try to make some more, squeeze some more juice from the vine, right? So, if you will. So my question is,
you get juice from the vine.
What kind how you get the juice? Is it not from the vine?
I don't remind me to never drink juice from your guys' house.
Are you saying you don't want to try any of the wine that I'm currently
I don't
making?
Want to. Did you say wine or vine? Well, now I'm very worried.
It's wine from the vine, Nate. I mean, you got to keep up. Got to keep up. All right, but look, I got to ask. They're going to remake this movie. There's some rumored names, and I'll get to who's rumored for some of these roles. But I'm curious. The most important voice in this is Audrey 2, the plant. Who are you casting for Audrey 2? Because this is a big personality. This is a big voice if you're going to keep it as a musical, which I don't know that you necessarily need to, but it will be, right? So who are y'all casting?
So I think I have one for this.
Okay.
I think that if you were to cast it again today, it is hands down without a doubt has to be Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars.
Yes.
Nate sounded like a 90s DJ. Then Bruno Mars on the top 10 of 20.
I don't know if I agree with that one. Fight, interesting. Fight.
You don't have to agree with my opinion. It's fine. It's my opinion.
Interesting. So
I think he would be great in it. I think he'd bring some, you know. I really like the guy. The guy that did it in this one's from the Four Tops, right? I mean, he was really good. I think there's one thing in particular I think Bruno Mars would really crush. It's the scene when Audrey 2 starts having the little plant singing with him as well. And I think Bruno Mars could run with that. I think he could actually make Audrey 2 kind of dance a little bit. So, you know, updated puppetry or however they're going to do it. You know, I think they could really go out with this, you know, as a musical.
It's an interesting choice. Definitely didn't see it coming. It's definitely wrong, but it was an interesting choice. Nate, who are you?
All right, I'm walking out of this podcast now.
I hesitate to throw it to Nate first because I'm worried he's going to steal who I had. But
no, go. You can go. No,
I want you to go. I want you to go because
I'm debating between two. So if you take mine, I have a backup. So why don't you go?
No, you go first.
No.
All right, this is the show. The debate is who's going to go first, Nate or Mitch? All right, look, there's only really one right answer. It's Titus Burgess, a.k.a. Titus Andromedon from Kimmy Schmidt. Titus.
Oh, okay.
Titus would be incredible in this role.
So not that far off from who's actually going to have the role.
No, not terribly. But did you watch Kimmy Schmidt at all?
No. But okay. I saw him in some cameos in 30 Rock.
Oh, my
God. That were very good.
He's so good. I think he would be perfect. I mean, because the character he plays in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is very much Audrey 2. Almost the exact same sort of character, sings all the time, very, very loud, big personality. I think he would crush it in this role. But Nate, all right, I guess that wasn't one of your two then, considering
it was absolutely not.
Well, that's all right. Well, okay, so tell everyone your wrong answers. Sorry, so the right one was. So.
Well, you want someone who's got musical ability, and you want someone who's got a distinctive voice.
Nick
and
Cage.
You want someone who's got an edge. this is my backup, but I was going to say Kanye.
Nah, what?
Yes.
Yeezy? No.
That would be incredible.
Audrey too, just going, ha, the whole time. Like, I mean, what?
That's, well, not in your movie, but in this movie. What are you going to do?
The problem with your movie is that this is definitely like Robert Eggers coming back with some, like, I don't know. He's probably going to have, like, studied how chlorophyll, and there's going to be some, like, ridiculous, like,
I don't know what that means.
It's all going to be filmed in a greenhouse or something. You know, anyway, go ahead.
I don't know what that means. My real one, which includes singing and acting, was Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx is interesting.
Fox has voiced a lot of big voice parts and can obviously do the singing.
Absolutely, I feel like no Jamie problem. Jamie Foxx would have been the better pick if this movie were made in the late 90s, early 2000s. I almost think it just passed. I don't know.
This movie had a guy from The Four Tops in 1986. That was way past. You're like a decade.
At that point, it's all old stuff. So, I mean, who knows, right?
A decade late, easy. Yep. I think Jamie Foxx was good. My backup to Kanye was Ice Cube.
What? Do you have a backup?
Can you imagine Ice Cube?
Do you have a backup to Ice Cube? Because I'm just very...
Dr. Dre.
I guess I just want to see how far this train goes.
Snoop Dogg? Hold on. If Snoop Dogg is the voice, now we're talking.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I don't know why he has to sing.
I'm getting closer.
What if the plant raps?
It's raps. Exactly.
Snoop Dogg. I mean, Snoop Dogg in anything is...
Almost too chill to take over the world. I think an Ice Cube might bring a little bit more edge, right, to it. Ooh, I like... Okay. Jamie Foxx, Ice Cube. Those are my... That's my, if we can't get Jamie Foxx, we get Ice Cube. Ice Cube's got all kinds of time, right? What's Ice Cube doing?
Well, I think, no, that's Ice-T. I was going to say he's in one of the CSI or the Law and Orders, but that's Ice-T. Ice Cube.
Although Ice-T would be amazing too.
Is he still taking his kids on a road trip or?
Mac Daddy Onassis himself.
Mac Daddy Onassis.
From Leprechaun in the Hood. God. Actually, that would, okay. Ice Q or Ice T, one of the ice. I'm dropping Jamie Foxx now.
One of the ices, but not Vanilla Ice.
That's obvious.
Okay. Well, I just, you know, look, I'm throwing.
That seemed like an obvious. Yeah.
Now, you know, we mentioned men. I mean, could Adele have done this? We're just throwing out singers.
Oh, Adele, just random Adele-ness.
Although Adele, I mean, Adele maybe she'd be better off with Audrey one. Audrey's role.
Does she act?
I don't know. Did the woman who played Audrey act?
Those are questions.
It's, you know, I'm just saying you got it. She had some hard songs to sing in this one, man. It's, you know, I easier to pick Audrey 2's voice than Audrey's.
That's fair. Okay. Wow. Okay. So Adele, I'm just going to go with Ice-T and. And Rick Moranis is Josh Gad, and we got it. And you know he can sing.
Yeah,
we got it covered.
Josh Gad. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Olaf's. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, this movie seems
got to get that Olaf zero star people. Power. All right. Well,
zero people will see this movie.
Yeah. Let us know. Did we? Which one of those would get you into the theater for this remake that no one? And I mean no one is asking for. let us know at TexasPodcastMassacre@gmail.com, TXPodMassacre on Twitter, Texas Podcast Massacre everywhere else. Look, please go on. Go on to our podcast page on Apple Podcasts, everywhere else. Leave us a 5-star review. We just did a a review from someone who left a review for Bone Tomahawk. That was something. So
Lisa barely watched the film, apparently.
She just didn't watch the one overly gruesome scene. She watched the rest of it.
Okay, good.
all that said, definitely, you know, that's how you get some of these things ahead. I don't know, Nate.
I don't even know. See you struggle. This is great. No, I mean, look. I mean, there are still some contenders out there: Gretel and Hansel, the Human Centipedes, etc. That have not Hostel. I'm sure Lisa would love to watch Hostel. So get those cranking in the request. Everyone seems to disregard that and pick up their own actual movies.
Does anyone actually really like Hostel? I mean, truthfully.
I didn't like it when I watched it, but I would like it more if I knew Lisa watched it. So that's a factor for me.
You can also give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 346-246-3143. Hear yourself on the podcast. We tend to listen to these and answer them.
Give us a call.
Yeah. Give us a call. All right. Well, look, we need to get into this movie. So let's do it. This week's movie of the week is Little Shop of Horrors.
Now, the most menacing musical comedy ever to paint the silver screen, Scream, Little Shop of Horrors. Where did you get such a weird flame? Thrill to the romance.
Will you marry me?
Sure. Witness the drama.
You'll be a dead. You have a talent for causing pain.
I've been saving all month for this. I think I need a root canal. I'm sure I need a long, slow root canal.
Beat me, Cobblepot! Beat me now!
Savor the spectacle of the first plant in motion picture history ever to sing for its supper.
Beat me now! I'm just a mean, mean mother from outer space and I'm dead.
Starring Rick Moranis, Ellen Green, Vincent Gardenia, with a special appearance by Steve Martin. James Belushi, John Candy,
Comfy,
and Bill Murray.
It's your professionalism that I respect.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Nate, I want you to, I think we need to re-record the intro to the podcast. I want you to do some runs like the main ladies in this movie.
Oh, you want some backup vocals?
Yeah.
That would be great. We got Lisa. So, I mean, like,
you know, there it is. So Little Shop of Horrors. I don't know. You're both kind of the unsuspecting victims, but since Lisa picked this, Nate, why don't you tell the folks what this movie's about?
Sure. This is Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but instead of using seeds from plants to turn them into the aliens, you just eat them with the plant.
Yeah.
That was the least concise.
Look, the elevator pitch is, hey, you know, Venus flytraps? What if they ate people and sang songs?
And also try to take over the world and
like,
aliens.
Like what is, you know, it started off as just, hey, what if a Venus flytrap, but it eats people? And they're like, cool. But what if we like sang? Sure. Will that get this made?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Nate, what can you tell us about Little Shop of Horrors?
Little Shop of Horrors originally came out, the original, in 1960. This is a Roger Corman joint. That's the one I had seen. I thought that's, when I asked the question, like, oh, are we watching the old one? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, wait, I need to specify which old one. You're like, the 80s. I'm like, oh.
I didn't know. I
so not
this,
that old.
No, this is the one so that this that is old. The one that everyone, most people have watched, because I don't never heard of the previous one. I realize there now that there is one, but this is the only one I've ever known.
Interesting. So Roger Corman directed the original in the same year he directed Vincent Price in The House of Usher. So, and 2 years after he started one of Mitch's favorite guitarists, Machine Gun Kelly. So, because of Roger Corman movie, Machine Gun Kelly has a guitar album. So, you got that going for you. This movie came out in 1986. A little bit different vibe for sure. This is basically a Christmas. This is a Christmas 1986 movie. Is this a Christmassy movie for you, Mitch?
This is a Christmassy movie. No.
Okay.
There's no indication of it being Christmas. There's no tree anywhere. I mean, I don't know how many Christmas trees are in Skid Row, New York or wherever, but this does take place in New York, right? Or is it actually LA?
Where does this take place?
Yeah.
Where is it supposed to take place?
Yeah. Well,
Any city USA.
Okay. Does any city have a Skid Row? Cause I know there's obviously the famous one in LA. And so when they were singing the song about Skid Row, I was like, oh, does New York have a Skid Row too? Maybe. I don't know. New York folks, let me know. Where's your Skid Row so I can avoid it?
I think it was universal.
Is there a Skid Row up in Valpo, Nate? Is Valpo the Skid Row?
I don't think it's Skid Row. It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
It's Skid Corner. Like it's just a little abutment, yeah. You know, right there.
Well, don't worry, Mitch, because the movie was filmed in Pinewood Studios, which was the James Bond studios in London.
Oh, okay. So Skid Row, so London.
Take that out.
I just don't know where this movie takes place. And it's
London. No, and then there was a 1982. The reason that this movie is a lot different than the original is there was a 1982 musical. So it's not like they came up with the musical.
It takes place downtown. That's where it takes place.
There's a place you can go to see a plant downtown. $25 million budget, $39 million in the box office around Christmas 1986. So you got that going for you. The director of this is the wonderful Wizard of Frank Oz. Frank Oz is, do you guys know Frank Oz, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
From Sesame Street and Muppets.
Right. So first movie he did was The Dark Crystal, which is a beloved classic film that he did with Jim Henson. And then I guess the most famous one after that is probably Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which was 2 years after this one.
Hmm.
So he's got double Steve Martin happening in both movies. And then it took a turn for the worse. You got the movie Bowfinger, if you remember Bowfinger.
Oh, God.
What a bad movie that was. And then that's one of my least, it's my least favorite movies of all time. The Stepford Wives remake with Nicole Kidman, that was also absolutely worthless. And
that's interesting.
Yes. And the last movie that he did, was it looks like some random magician movie. So there you go. a movie about a magician. Sure. So you got that. And he did one episode of Leverage. So, you know, it really went down a bit, but well-renowned, all kinds of other stuff he's doing. That's not directing, but the directing really dropped a little bit. Still acted, obviously the voice of Yoda. So if you're the voice of Yoda, you're doing all kinds of work for basically ever. So, and oh, also the voice of, I don't know, Bert Grover and Cookie Monster. So doing all right. But yeah, also directed a movie. You got Rick Moranis. You can see Rick Moranis in the upcoming film Shrunk. That's right. It's a reboot of the 1989 movie.
Really?
That also features Josh Gad, I believe, as his son. So,
oh gosh,
two Josh Gad references in one podcast, I think an all-time record. No horror movies to speak of other than Honey, I Shrunk, The Whatevers, and Ghostbusters, probably the closest horror thing, I guess. Not very horror. The actress Ellen Green was Audrey. This is her main movie. She was Matilda's mom in Leon the Professional. So she was, I believe she was Natalie Portman's mom in that movie. And she was in one episode of Hannibal. So I'm going to count that as.
So, but she was more. Also in Pushing Daisies, which was in 2006, I think. But it was around the time of the writer's strike. So it was this really, really good TV series about a guy that can bring people back from the dead by touching them. But if he touches them again, then they die permanently. So he would like wake people up to try and solve their murders.
Interesting.
Yeah. Fantastic show, but it happened during the writer's strike. So it didn't last very long, but she's in it. And it was bugging me because I had heard her, you know, high-pitched voice and intonation before. And I was like, where have I heard her? But that show is, it's worth, I think there's only like 20 episodes. It's worth a watch, but it's a damn shame it happened during the writer's strike because I think it would have been a great show.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pushing Daisies recommendation from Lisa. You don't get a lot of recommendations from Lisa on the podcast, so check that out. The singer Levi Stubbs from the Four Tops plays Audrey too. You might remember him from an episode of the TV series Super Mario World from 1991. There's only 5 acting credits, so.
Or, you know, his band, the Four Tops.
Or that's also an option. The remake. Now let's get into the remake. With Audrey, you have rumored Scarlett Johansson. You have Chris Evans as Oren Scrivello, DDS. You have Taron Egerton as Seymour Krelborn, which seems like a terrible, terrible casting. And you have Billy Porter from Pose as Audrey too. Lisa, how do you feel about those names?
What's with the Taron Egerton hate?
Yeah, go from Rick Moranis to Taron Egerton. Come on.
I'm confused. I like him. I don't know.
Come on. You need a little more of a schlubby guy.
Oh, so he's not schlubby enough.
He's not schlubby enough.
Not
schlubby.
Gotcha. I don't know. I like that cast. Billy Porter's a favorite. So yeah, I think that would be awesome. But this is rumored, right? These haven't been confirmed.
That's correct.
Yeah.
If this movie gets made, I will be stunned.
You think it won't? You think it'll get canceled totally?
I don't know. I was clamoring for a Little Shop of Horrors movie. I don't know what Scarlett Johansson's singing voice is. I don't know if it's going to be like the original or if it's going to be the musical, either way. So the original
based on
person
what we just saw, you know, based on what we just saw with Last Night in Soho, they almost should have cast Anna Taylor-Joy as Audrey.
That would have been, she does have like an interesting voice that could,
and she can sing. We found out. So
yeah. So the remake originally had Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which sounds much better in the lead role. But what are you going to do? Okay, so then that's information about the movie. Lisa, this was your pick. How do you feel? Great movie?
I feel like y'all keep saying
movie?
This is my pick. Was it my pick or was it?
It was your pick.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I hated it.
I didn't hate it. It was kind of boring.
Mitch is offended.
I feel like it probably lended itself better to a Broadway musical format than to a movie. I don't know. I just...
Interesting.
It didn't keep me as engaged for some reason. And I mean, it's not a long movie. It's only an hour and a half. It's pretty short, but I was just like, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, Nate, what about you? It's first time you've seen this. Where do you sit with it?
It was all right.
You feel the same way. It's okay.
It was all right.
And it's so sad because it's so hyped and I've heard about it for so long. And you know, the plant is iconic. Audrey 2 is iconic. And then I was like, this is it? This is what everyone's been freaking out about? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I had no hype for this. I only knew the original. I knew there was a movie, but I'd only seen the original, right? So I forgot it was a musical. When I first heard the singing, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a musical. This makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I had to step away for a minute. So this, because they kind of show it at the very end credits. So this was a movie, then a musical, then a movie.
Correct.
That's very weird.
Yeah. So there's that. Yeah. 1960.
So the original movie is not a musical.
No.
But it still has a plant.
Yes. It's the same premise. Yeah.
Just not. Who's the original? You probably talked about all this, but I had to step away. Who's the original?
I did not. I don't know if it was even a person who's famous. I can double check, but it's from 1960. So,
Okay.
Unless you're a big Jonathan Hayes fan,
that doesn't ring any bells.
Whoever that is, but it's all the same names and stuff, right? So it's it was just taken off that.
Interesting. So,
yeah.
And when I Google Jonathan Hayes, the actor is not the first thing that comes up. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. So then they took that, made it into a musical. I think the musical hit nicely. And then they made the movie with some, you know, well-known mid-80s actors. So you got your Rick Moranises, you got your Steve Martins, you got your Bill Murrays, you got your John Candies. Christopher Guest.
Gotcha. Who's who?
Christopher Guest was in there, I think, briefly. A lot of doo-wop singing.
A lot of doo-wop singing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of doo-wop singing. I don't know. I guess so Mitch, what did you think? So I'm meh. Lisa got bored. how do you feel about it? Because you're the one who's seen it. So like what? I know you have affinity and maybe get attached to certain movies. Yeah. Is this one of them?
So nostalgia is a funny thing.
Oh no. this turned so negative.
I remember really enjoying this film as a kid. I was also just bored out of my mind. This movie is one of those movies that I think Lisa, you pretty much already said this, but it's, you hear about it all the time and everyone talks about it and everyone has fond memories, but then you go back and it's just so badly dated and just doesn't, I mean, look, it's not quite as bad as a Christmas movie is or Christmas Story is, but it's bad. It's boring.
Like, I'm going to start calling it a Christmas movie. That's a great diss. Cause I don't like that movie at all. That's great.
Yeah.
Christmas movie.
It's not that there aren't like one-off scenes and things that are just kind of, or things you were kind of remember. But what the hell is going on? Like, I don't know. It's just, this thing could have been a TV episode at this point. I don't know.
Wow. That's harsh.
It made me sad. Dang. It made me sad because I was very excited for Lisa to watch this thing that I grew up watching as a child. But man, just watching it now, just like, look, let's talk about the positives with this movie, right? Audrey 2 is incredible. Like the puppetry, the different size, the look of it. I mean, it looks great. I don't know what, yeah. I've never seen the play. So I have no reference outside of just this movie, but yeah. It looks great. Awesome. You know, they nailed Monster's Plan, obviously, because we still have it in pop culture references today. Rick Moranis is good in this role. He's playing the Rick Moranis role, right? I mean,
yeah, he's Rick Moranis for sure in this one. Yeah.
It's not his best role. I mean, it's no Dark Helmet, but you know, it's good. Yeah. I think Lisa, you were shocked that he could sing the way he did. So
yeah.
Did he sing well?
He sang. Look, you if you so. Said Chris, he sang if, well. When you say Rick Moranis is in a singing movie, are you what are you expecting, Nate? I mean,
I'm expecting like the machine when they had
he wasn't auto tuned, Nate. I mean, give him that's that.
Wasn't he though? Because I feel like they hit the Simpsons auto tune when they had the boy band. They hit the button and it turned his voice into a little something. Was there a singing stand in? Do who knows? I can probably look it up.
Was there a singing stand? I don't know. I think that was all.
Was there a singing double?
Now, was he lip syncing? Obviously, and they had recorded this, and it was the best takes. Sure, you know, I doubt this was like a single take. But I think it was fine. I think like it's they made it work. I don't. There's no one bad in this movie. You know, I think the only character that's kind of like, Jesus, it's way, way overkill is probably the dentist, right? Steve Martin. And honestly, that's just, I think that goes down to just D like Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Like, if really, you don't like Steve Martin, you're just not going to like him in this either. I'm not a big Steve Martin fan. So
I had forgotten how just absolutely goofy he is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
super goofy.
Although I, as a child, I do finally remember loving the dentist song. Right. I mean, it's the funniest part of the movie to me. Right. When he's like, just beating the crap out of this nurse and, you know, just like, I mean, talking. And now, you know, as an adult, I appreciate even more that, you know, instead of being this like serial killer, he's talking about how he's always aggressive and how he was, you know, as a kid, he was, you know, a psychopath. And so he's like, so I became a dentist and now I get to do this.
Yeah, that was great.
I mean, yeah, great. A lot funnier now than it was as a child. But yeah, I think when he's just shooting water in that dude's mouth, just make him say, a top 10 cinematic moment of all time. I mean, I know it's just great. Yeah. It's very good, but yeah, I think it's one of those things in every other scene besides that, like intro song, it's like, do you like Steve Martin? Cause if you do, this is going to knock you out of the park for you. If you don't, then
I was going to say, this is the movie where he really is the jerk.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And this is the only movie Bill Murray and Steve Martin were ever in together.
Yeah. And that one scene
seems impossible.
Really?
Seems impossible.
That one scene is maybe one of the best scenes in the whole movie.
It's funny.
That's great, right? I mean,
you got Bill Murray and Steve Martin in the mid-80s. I mean, you should be able to make it work. But
that's the only time they were ever together.
Yeah, on screen. Yeah, in the movie.
That's that is
obviously crazy. I believe SNL they were together, but in a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. John Candy, of course, another cameo, being the predecessor to this podcast. with the
I need more sound effects. I need more radio, old radio time sound effects.
I told Lisa I wanted you and Lisa to recreate his opening spiel when Rick Moranis comes in to the, oh please no, please put your clothes back on. What are you doing? Just kidding, sit down. So weird.
I think you love that part. I think that's your favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't remember this at all as a kid, but now it's like, this is great. I mean, it's good. I just think like there's a lot. It's the problem. I think it's just the problem with trying to translate something from, Broadway to a movie. It's just difficult because of all the songs. Because the songs have to like set everything up that you could do a lot differently in film, right?
Yeah, agreed.
So there's a lot of like focus on Skid Row and so I don't know. The music's great. I mean, I don't know. I'm sitting here hearing myself being like, yeah, it's great, it's good, it's good, but it's just boring. It's just dated.
Yeah.
I don't know. For as much as I usually rail on these shows about you know, remaking movies, and again, I don't know who's asking for this one to be remade, but maybe it would benefit from it. Maybe it needs to be updated just a little bit. Will they update it, or are they just going to do the same shit with like newer people? I don't know. We'll find out, but.
Interesting.
Anyway. Yeah. So that's. Yeah. This is the dumbest alien. I mean, why is this thing? Okay, let's talk about this alien plan, right?
Yeah,
this,
let's talk about the takeover.
Oh, sorry, spoiler alert. Yeah. The plan is an alien. Moving on. So this alien shows up during an eclipse, sure, and decides to like start off as a plant, and is very reliant on a hapless Rick Moranis to feed him blood. And not think, hey, this is weird. Maybe I just let this one go.
I guess it starts off as a baby plant. So my thought was maybe it just like whatever planet this thing is from just dropped different seeds on different planets or different baby plants on different planets. And just hopefully one of them took.
DMX'd it, huh?
Yes. Yep.
Nope. Well, I don't think anyone's ever said that phrase.
Nope.
Congratulations. That could be a first in the English language describing this.
You are welcome. You can send my trophy to me here at the studio.
And the trophy is also a plant.
We'll clear space on the shelf.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, very lucky that it showed up at this Chinese man's crazy weird plant place. I don't know what it
means. Why does it have to be a Chinese man? The same thing happened with the Mogwai.
It's gremlins all over.
Because where else are you gonna find this weird shit? It's east, right? Apparently. It's Asian. So
apparently.
I don't know. It was something. It was something.
Although look. There's a million other things I'd rather talk about than this movie, and so I won't divert us too long. But what if we had? What if this is the sequel? What if it was the same fucking shop that Gizmo comes from, and we have Gizmo versus Audrey 2?
What if you were not supposed to feed the plant after midnight?
I mean, Jesus, right? And because all we ever see, we ever see him eat at night. So you're absolutely right, Lisa. They grow. I mean, same basic rules.
What if they're natural enemies?
Oh, but it makes sense, right? Because the plant needs sun, but the gremlins can't have sun.
Yeah.
But that's the only time that the plant can feed is at night. It makes a lot of sense.
It's all clicking.
But the plant doesn't like electricity, like the electricity in gremlins too. So see, I'm just trying to set up a plant versus gremlin movie. Can we make that happen?
That would be good.
Plants versus gremlins?
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm 100%.
I mean, who's winning? I mean, Spike's got to have an edge in this, right?
I just don't know what the plant's weakness is. I mean, it took like 100 shots from like a 6-shot gun.
Well, I don't know.
If the
bat gremlin from Gremlins 2 shows up, it might have a fair shake at it. I don't know.
You need the smart. The plant gremlin
can't seem to move. So
the smart gremlin needs to figure out a way. The one who's given interviews in Gremlins.
Also, both movies.
I should just rewatch Gremlins 2. Why didn't we watch this movie?
Right, both movies. Well, we did watch this. You can go back to watch a previous episode, Gremlins 2, A New Batch.
Yeah, listen to Gremlins 2.
But I mean, even then, both movies are reliant on this sort of nerdy protagonist to basically help keep them alive and to keep things from spiraling out of control. And they both fail miserably at that simple task. This is clearly in the same universe. Let's call it what it is.
Okay. All right. Well, what is that? There we are.
This is the original Alien versus Predator, but it's
who's the predator?
Well, the predator would be the gremlin because the alien's the plant.
Oh, I see. Okay. I like that. But predator is also an alien. Man, really, this is tough.
Well, yeah, sure. But the gizmos are not the gizmos, but the gremlins are not necessarily.
Are they aliens?
They might
be. Are we saying they're aliens?
No, we don't know where anything.
The killer clowns from outer space accidentally dropped off a Mogwai.
We are all descended from bacteria that came from a rock in space that landed here while the Earth was forming.
I think it was mainly just atoms, and then the bacteria started on Earth. But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, atoms, Eves, all of them. You're absolutely right. But the point is, I just don't want to talk about this.
Where are the Steves? Anyway, okay, so this movie, we're off the rails here. Yeah. So this movie is basically guy finds plant, ancient Chinese secret, and then
I didn't think it was that Chinese secret. He didn't know he even had it.
It was an eclipse.
But you like how he capitalized on it?
I did.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know this fucking plant, but I'll take your money.
$1.99,
anyway.
Please. Like,
yeah.
What a random ass price for something. You're like, I've never seen that in my life. $2.
This is the least.
Like, if this were on Pawn Stars.
They're in Skid Row, right? Like, they're in Skid Row, and you got like a dentist office and a plant store. Like, what is happening? And the plant store is like across from, like, it's in the neighborhood. Like, what's the neighborhood plant store that was needed? What idea was this to make this happen?
Well, Nate, sometimes you just gotta sell the shit that's around you, you know? Like, you're just like, well, fuck it. There's some plants around here. Let me just grab this shit out the sidewalks. There you go.
I love how everything happens in like one block. Like, it's everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, like it does in any town USA, Nate.
Any city USA, because you got to have a Skid Row component.
Towns don't have Skid Rows.
Dentist, you got a dentist office, you got plant shops, you got like walk-up apartments. I don't even know what's happening.
Well, look, as far as I'm aware, I think certain drugs jack up your teeth. So, I mean, that's just bringing the work where the people are. You know what I mean? That's just going where the work is.
Okay, that's one way to
I did
do it.
Like how Audrey's apartment literally overlooks where she works, and she still can't be on time for work.
That's what I'm saying. It's like all happening in like just the smallest component of one block. But
yeah,
I don't know.
So we find out. Okay, so. Yeah, to your love story point, Nate. So Rick Moranis is in love with Audrey, and Audrey is secretly in love with Rick Moranis, but she is currently dating the dentist, who is a woman beater and all around terrible person. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like
my
how,
guess is
though,
that he doesn't turn down people who don't have insurance. So there is
none.
That.
I did like how so though every time good. She talks about him, she's like, oh, he's a professional, he's the, like, making it sound like he's like some sort of gangster or hitman. Me, who had never seen this before, and had I knew vaguely that Steve Martin was in it, but I had no idea what he did. When he was revealed to be a dentist, I was like, oh my gosh, what in the world is going on?
Pretty awesome.
So that was pretty good.
Pretty awesome. I laughed like out loud. That was great.
Yeah.
It was very good. Other than that, I don't know. So, okay. What favorite songs? So a lot of songs, awesome. any particular favorites?
I like the opening song, but probably because that's the one that I know the most without having seen the movie.
Oh, okay. So you knew it already before.
Yeah. Little shop of horrors. I feel like that comes up, you know, the most. The music was fine. Like, I have no issue with the music. I just think it probably would have been better as a stage play, which is what it originally was.
Yeah. Yeah. As an off-Broadway show. Yeah.
And I guess, Mitch, you said that the dentist song was your favorite.
Yeah, that's, I still stand by that.
Yeah, I'm not shocking. Too. You always like the villain songs.
I tend to like, pretty much like any Disney movie or anything. The villain has to have a great song. It's got to, right? Because you've got to understand why this person is, like, it's not like movies where you see their like slow turn, or really TV shows, right? You know, we don't get to see him turn from Walter White into, you know, into Heisenberg, right? We've got to know from the get-go, like, you're a piece of shit. And you've got to do that with a great song. Like, think of all the best villains that have great songs. I mean, they all do, right? They're always, to me, the best songs in the movie. Scar.
I thought Lisa was going to give you crap for always sticking up for dentists. So I'm glad it was just about the villains. I was like, oh, no, villains. Okay, now I'm 100% on board.
What was your favorite song, Nate?
The dentist song.
Yeah.
When it turned that it became a dentist, it was absolutely perfect. I thought Steve Martin was absolutely agonizing.
Jesus, in this movie, it still hasn't quite hit me because I just don't believe that no one has seen this movie before. So y'all didn't realize that he was going to be a dentist.
No, right. No idea.
And every time Audrey mentions him, she's like, he's good at what he does. He's a professional, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, he's a professional, like hitman or something.
Well, of course,
not a dentist.
Well, yeah. And the first time you see him, too, right? I mean, he's in his, he's fucking James Dean on his motorcycle, right? Talking about how he's like, you know, he'd always like punch kittens and be just a little shitbag. And it's like, yeah, so I became a dentist. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Has this done to dentists what Pennywise did for the clown industry, Nate?
No, everyone already hated dentists.
Okay. I have to ask the question.
I mean, I don't hate. You're an anti-dentite. I actually love, well played. I actually like my dentist quite a bit, but I think no one's just like very pro dentist just because of the reasons why this song is so hilarious. I mean, it's, I think especially back then, right? Like, well, and I mean, I don't know if it was this movie or Corbin Burnson in the two dentist horror films, which we absolutely need to watch for the show. I don't know if that did more or less. I don't think anyone saw them, so probably this movie. But
I'll say this. I think again, the dentist song is great. If I had to get like a second pick, probably the song where Audrey 2 is trying to convince Rick Moranis to feed him bodies, you know, the Feed Me Seymour song. I don't know what it's actually called, but which is around when Seymour decides like, hey, I'm gonna feed the dentist to this plant.
Yeah, that's a good one too. And that's another one that kind of makes it, I think, comes through in pop culture, even if you haven't seen the movie. Because just Audrey 2 saying, feed me, Seymour. I mean, I've heard that a million times without seeing the movie. So.
Where have you possibly heard this?
Seriously?
You didn't know that going into this?
That's why I feel like I've seen bits and pieces of this in the past. I've just never sat down and watched the whole thing.
Yeah, Matt. Yeah, I just missed out on this 100%. Wow. I have no clue.
You were too busy watching Vincent Price.
That could be it.
All right. So Rick Moranis goes on a killing spree, and I mean, how many bodies does he give to Audrey? I mean,
he kills zero people. Hold on a second. He doesn't kill anybody.
Oh, the dentist.
No, the dentist killed himself.
Oh, because the laughing gas, right? But he does hack his body in. I mean, let's not act like that's not
killing. That mutilating, sure, but not killing.
All right. Wow.
Nate's been working on his law school.
Pump the brakes a little.
Defense attorney over here.
I don't think he kills anybody because then his boss gets eaten. He didn't do it. And he has a gun on him, if anything, right? So I think that's free and clear. And then his girlfriend gets eaten, which is, you know.
No, lightly chewed on, not eaten.
Well, then she got eaten, but she was already dead because she got chewed on before, not his fault. So I think he's in the clear.
Wait, what?
Well, he fed her to the plant later, but she was already dead after getting chomped on the first time. That was not his fault. So
did I miss part of the movie? What do you mean?
Rick Moranis fed her to the plant. Yeah.
His girlfriend.
Yeah.
Audrey?
After she was dead. Yeah. After she was dead. Yeah. That's a big plot point.
Cause
she said she had that something somewhere green and she said she wanted to be somewhere green.
Uh-huh.
And the plant is green. So
that's how you interpreted the ending.
No, she got eaten.
Mitch, I need you to pick a side here because I'm getting very confused. Zonk out so much on this movie I didn't see that part?
Yeah, she got eaten.
She didn't get eaten.
Wait, what?
What did you watch, Nate?
Audrey got did I watch a different? Oh, did I watch the director's cut? Uh-oh.
Oh my gosh, seriously?
Did I watch a slightly different version of the movie? How does your version go?
She gets lightly chewed, but I wouldn't say she gets eaten.
He saves her, and then the whole shop falls down on Rick Moranis.
Oh no, my version's way different.
Oh my god. Okay, what? Then you need to tell this us your incredible. Version.
This is incredible. Okay. So
this is like Clue all over again.
The director's cut.
Now I know how those people felt when they're like, what are you talking about? That's not how the movie ended.
Oh man, I guess we never even talked about which version. I watched the director's cut. Sorry. So she gets chomped, but then she dies, and then he feeds her to the plant because she says that she wants to help him, you know, keep being famous and help the plant grow.
That is not how our version that is ended. Then
absolutely not.
Rick Moranis gets eaten also.
Okay.
And then the plants take over.
That's
the whole
plan. 0% how our movie ended.
So, yeah, so that was the original ending that was shown to test audiences, and it was so violently hated.
I loved the ending.
So, the movie that everyone else saw, besides Nate, and I guess the same people that got the different ending for Mac and Me, which, you know, not gonna spoil that here.
That's amazing.
In this one, she almost gets eaten. Rick Moranis saves her, and then they have sort of a final fight, and he ends up like electrocuting Audrey too, and it blows up.
In my version, a million of those little plants get sent out to everybody, and then they take over the whole Earth, and they eat Cleveland. Cleveland gets eaten. It's way better. Way better.
That's insane.
That version sounds like garbage. Okay.
Which that ending is closer to the ending of the actual play.
Yeah. Cleveland gets eaten. I want the Cleveland ending. That's what I would say.
Like in the play, the new buds actually end up having the faces of like Seymour and Audrey and everyone. And so they they tell the audience, please, no matter what, don't feed them. And then I think what did I see? It's part of the play, like the shadow of Audrey 2 grows so wide that it looks like it's eating the whole audience, basically.
Oh, see, that's the kind of thing you can only do on the play version, not on a movie.
Well, and so that's why Frank Oz talked about why he removed it was because he's like, you know, the problem with the play is that, you know, there's the curtain call. So everyone knows the actors are okay. But the movie is like, it's like, Frank, I think people know the actors are fine.
Rick Moranis went on to do press for this.
This isn't Cannibal Holocaust where everyone's like, is that real? Like, what did we just watch? No, I think everyone knows Rick Moranis is fine. But yeah, I mean, that's part of what changed. But yeah, so Nate watched So there you go. If you are,
I watched the good version. Oh man. Okay.
This is crazy.
I watched the awesome version.
So I've never actually seen. I knew what the alternate ending was. I've never actually seen it. I didn't know that it was available in the director's cut. So interesting.
It's way, way better. Okay. Yeah. So in my version, it's awesome. They have little plants, and all the little plants get like sold in stores. Rick Moranis gets eaten. Audrey gets eaten, and then Cleveland gets eaten. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does the face of Drew Carey show up if Cleveland's eaten? Because that would make, you know, just
No. Drew Carey actually ate the plants. That's how they turned the tide in Little Shop of Horrors 2. There was a proposed sequel and it never got made. But I guess the remake is finally coming out, you know, 30 some years later. So wow, you guys!
So wow, we actually totally found something movie. interesting Dang. To talk about with this movie. So there you go.
Yeah, wow. But now, well, I'm gonna rate it on the director cut because if I rate it on your guys' version, it sounds way worse. Electrocuted? Come on, what are we talking about? You're space aliens. We got electrocuted.
It wasn't great. I mean, it was clearly rewritten at the last minute. I mean, yeah, it's
ours is the happy ending one.
I would honestly. So Lisa, now knowing that, would you? What would you recommend? What sounds like the better ending to you?
Yeah, pick a better.
Oh my gosh.
Planet of the Plants. The plants are like the Marshmallow Man in Ghostbusters. Like they're huge in the buildings, and they're just like one swallows a train. It's incredible.
I like our ending better.
They climbed up the Statue of Liberty and were just hanging out in the Statue of Liberty. Like just giant plants that are like 50 feet tall.
Apparently we're going to have to look up this ending.
It's awesome. Definitely look it up.
Yeah. I would say it's probably incredible. At this point, I'd watch. And that's what I think too. I think maybe back in the mid 80s, which seems weird, like you were more inclined to see movies happy endings. I think this is a movie that may have benefited from a darker ending. Again, it's what the play is, what the original material is. Go with that. Maybe that's what they'll do different in the remake. Or not. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Could have just been
it's
more
on YouTube.
Could have just done more Bill Murray and Steve Martin, because that was pretty fantastic.
Original ending is on YouTube, by the way. So you can watch
there
it.
Okay.
All right. Well, anything else I want to talk about with this one?
No, my mind is blown. I can't believe we've been talking about two different movies this whole time.
Well, no, it's just the
it's
end.
Just the ending.
Everything until
are
the
you sure
end.
About that though?
Well, to be fair, like it's the last third because the movie's only an hour and a half, and the ending's like 23 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's really a third of the film is different.
No, well, it's longer too. So mine was longer than.
What was runtime for the director's cut?
143 or something.
Really?
Extra 10 minutes then, yeah.
Yeah, almost. Wow. Yeah. I think it looks like the original was 134 or hour 33. So yeah. So you got like 9-10 minutes. Yeah. So it's a little different, but I think the main difference is the ending. So, and you can watch it on YouTube. So.
Yep. I would recommend that one. All right. Well, look. Just like the salesman that's trying to convince, like trying to say, hey, let's create a whole bunch of these. Let's get to the final cut.
Final cut.
Gotta cut them leaves and make more of them, Nate. Look, that's a guy that's all that guy. I like that salesman at the end that like decides, hey, let me sneak up on these people in a dark alley. Did you? No, you didn't have this part in the movie. Maybe it was different, but it's maybe not in your ending, Nate. Because in ours, when she's almost eaten, but she gets saved, a salesman shows up.
Yeah.
And is like, hey, and they're in this like dark alley. He goes, hey, why don't we sell a deal? We'll be rich. We'll cut little parts of the leaves and we'll regrow more of them. And then we can sell them and get real rich. And that's when Seymour's like, no, get out of here. You're crazy. And then there's this whole weird like thing.
Yeah, in the director cut, like Rick Moranis is debating jumping off a building after Audrey gets eaten. And then the salesman ambushes him on the roof of the building.
Okay, so this
already has one of the plants all packaged and ready to go that he cut off when they were in the store says, well, we can sell this without you because it's a vegetable. And then when he gets eaten, that's what happens when they sell it. Yeah, vegetable. This is before the plant life was patented, so it's technically true. And then when Rick Moranis gets eaten, ostensibly that guy sells all of those plants all around the country. People buy them like they're Beanie Babies, like level. Jeez. People are just like trampling each other in the store to get these plants, right? And then that's when they grow and get fed and become 50-foot tall plants that are eating whole towns. So yeah, the guy's still there but on a roof instead, and he ends up selling them anyway.
That's
interesting.
Crazy.
Interesting changes. Well, you guys, okay, well, we're in the final cut, right? So I'm gonna go first.
Yeah, it's kind of gonna be weird because I feel like there's an asterisk on this where
there is final cut your guys movie
films. Yeah,
your guys movie sounds like it too. But my movie was better, so I'm gonna go with. Look, I don't really care about the songs in this one.
No Repo the Genetic Opera. I'm with
it. I'm just gonna say that I think I like Repo the Genetic Opera better than this movie. So
you just made Mitch's night.
I know.
Christmas came early for Mitch. Let's
yeah. This movie, I didn't care for it that much. I'm gonna give it a 4. 4 out of 10. 4 out of 10 Greek choruses. Because there's a nice doo-wop Greek chorus the whole movie, which is definitely a highlight. Those singers were great. They were great. And how they're integrated in was pretty nice in a movie, you know, coming from a musical. So that was a highlight.
I almost wonder if Hercules got it from this. Maybe that's just a common thing that's done.
Yeah.
Now, one thing to point out, Nate, you did miss the only song that was actually made just for the movie, which was Mean Green Mother from Outer Space, which is the song that he sings in the big fight scene at the end. And I believe that actually was the first song to be nominated for an Academy Award that had like cussing in it.
That was in my version.
Was it? I thought that was different.
No, it's a super long song.
All right, never mind then.
Yeah.
Failed me, IMDb, with your bullshit trivia. All right, so.
Yeah, I definitely heard that song for sure. Yeah.
Okay. There was some song, maybe it was something else. There was some song that I thought was written specifically for the movie. And maybe that it's still that, but yeah. But maybe not. Anyway, Lisa, what do you give this movie?
Despite our different endings, I think I'll also give it a 4.
Wow.
I don't know. I really liked all the cameos because I really liked John Candy. Mm-hmm. And Bill Murray and Steve was fine, but Steve Martin. Stevie. I couldn't remember his last Stevie name Martin. For a second. I was like, that guy, Steve, you know,
Steve,
the
Steven
dentist,
Martin. Steven Martin, yeah.
Steven Martin. It's not a movie that will give me nightmares. So that always earns it points.
Are you anti-plant now?
Nah.
No, you're not anti-plant.
I wouldn't be blood to a plant to begin with. So,
oh, that was the tagline. Sorry, got it in for the very end. Nate. Sorry, don't feed the plants. That's the tagline. I almost forgot. Go. That's my favorite part. Okay, 4 out of 10. 4 out of 10. Interesting, Mitch. What do you got?
Well, I wish I'd gone before y'all, but. I actually have to agree. 4 out of 10. Weird. What the hell? That is it. The character's name. I don't even remember. Whatever. It's that guy. John Candy's. 4 John Candy's.
Four John Candy's.
John Candy's.
I had it in my notes. Now I can't find it. But it was the weird. Who doesn't matter. Christ.
Hold on. Right, hold on. I gotta find this for you.
The point
I gotta
being,
find it for you. Wow. Okay. This is two movies in a row, and it could not be two more different movies.
Oh yeah.
Bone Tomahawk and Little Shop of Horrors both getting the Universal score, which is incredible. Wink Wilkinson. Wink Wilkinson.
Well, yeah, 4 Wink Wilkinson's weird. Radio, god damn it, there's a whole it's a lot of W's.
Wink Winkleson. Jesus,
the show is the
you can't
to
even
say
read
that.
It.
I can't even read it correctly.
Wink Wilkinson's wow. rolling in his grave.
We say Wink Wilson.
I don't know what I wish Wink had been a bigger part of our episodes, and we could have kept mispronouncing his name for like the whole names the entire way through. I mean, it's God, if you'd asked me like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I would have told you, oh, this is easily like 7 or 8, but it just it's a little boring. I don't know. Maybe I need to watch the director's cut. Maybe I'd rate it a little higher with the different ending. The ending
that
doesn't,
ending
and, well, and this
incredible.
Ending doesn't really bother me. Like, it's not like it's a bad ending by any stretch. It's just different. I didn't mind it. I don't know. This movie is just, yeah. 4 out of 10. I won't believe it.
All right. Wow. This has never happened before. We are in agreement way too much. We need to do a polarizing movie next to break out of
so
this.
So I have a last question before we end, because I'm curious, since Mitch saw this as a kid, do you kind of wish you hadn't rewatched it then?
No, I think the parts that I really liked as a kid, I still liked.
Okay.
But I think just the overall, like, the things that I remembered from this movie as a kid, I still really liked, like the Dennis song, the, you know, Audrey's Feed Me song, you know, and all that. I still liked all that, but like all the stuff in between, didn't care. I wouldn't say that I ever really just like adored this movie, right? This isn't like Nightmare Before Christmas or something that was like, I watched this all the time. I've seen it a lot as a kid. I liked it. And it didn't really, I'm not upset that I, you know.
Okay.
I have grown. I'm glad. I have grown. Like wow, Audrey, Mitch, you Audrey too. Even, I have grown as a person. And
you couldn't even give Lisa the satisfaction of her ruining a movie for you. Like you always
no,
do.
No, I don't want to ruin it for him. I would have felt terrible.
I'm just kidding.
See, that's different, Nate. Lisa's a nice person. Like I know, you and I are like, let's make people miserable by making them watch The Room.
Miserable or amazing?
Well,
two different words,
two different feelings when we, please watch The Room if you've never seen it, if you don't know what we're talking about. Surely everyone listening probably
we'll do a future episode.
Come on, The Room is scary enough. We can put it on the podcast.
It is a horror film.
I agree.
All right. Well, look, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. Nate, where can they find us?
You can find us as always. TexasPodcastMassacre@gmail.com, TXPodMassacre on Twitter, TexasPodcastMassacre everywhere else. Give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. We will add the movie to the list. We already got, we beat Little Shop of Horrors before anyone could. Lisa beat it, so anyone, you know, couldn't, you know, request it and try to ruin more of Mitch's childhood movies. Mitch, if you have a list of childhood movies that we could potentially ruin, tweet that out and then people can give a 5-star review and try to.
Do you remember the movie Little Monsters?
Yes.
Yeah. It was,
I bet that movie sucks now.
Yeah,
it's got Josh Gad and Lupita Nyong'o and it came out a couple years ago.
No. Stop.
Australian kid zombie movie.
Stop.
Oh, you're talking about different Little Monsters. Someone requests Little Monsters, and then we'll have to do two episodes.
Hey, you know what? Still do it better, ambiguously. Still better than Gretel and Hansel.
All right. Well, there
my offer there still stands. Come fight me.
Give us a call also, 346-246-3143 if you want to fight Mitch. So that is
Are option. You not entertained? Yeah, all those are available. Please let us know what movie. Nate, we got to figure out. I don't know if there's a movie that we could ruin for you, honestly.
We try
to ruin Jack Frost with like 5 of us ganging up on you, telling you that hey, that that shower scene's not as charming and funny as you think it is.
It was worse than I had remembered, but it had Houston's own Shannon Elizabeth, first movie, so I mean, you can't take that away.
I mean, that is a true statement.
Any movie where you have a snowman getting chased by people with blow dryers, and then Jack Frost says "blow me," and then they pull the hair dryer out of the plug and they get murdered. That's, you can't ruin that movie. That's solid gold.
You can't. It's unruinable.
It's unruinable. If that sequence is in your movie, it's unruinable. Now Jack Frost 2, on the other hand, and winter, we're right in the throes of winter here. Maybe Jack Frost 2 could change my mind. So. Someone request. Now I'm begging someone to request Jack Frost 2.
Please don't.
Please do so.
Please don't. Let's just. We'll just watch. We'll just watch the Michael Keaton. With all that said, from all of us here at Texas Podcast Massacre, thank you so much for tuning in, and just keep telling yourself it's only a movie. Good night.